Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy, and it's the week of the Canadian Grand Prix. Such a fun race. I was there last year, and it was just a blast. Very jealous of everybody going. This is going to be a shorter episode. I'm just going to go through some of the major headlines. I asked you all for some questions, things that were on your mind, and then we'll do a quick Canadian Grand Prix preview. And then, yeah, it's race week, so let's enjoy it. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll probably see a little bit of a different background here. Sorry if the lighting is not perfect. We're still troubleshooting and figuring it all out, but I'm here for 2 months for the summer and I am so excited. So anyway, with all of that said, let's dive in. I think the most asked question from all of you was about Lance Stroll and this wrist situation. So for context, Lance Stroll got in a bad biking accident before the 2023 season, and he had surgery 2 days later, literally 48 hours later, and was back in the car within 12 days, which is actually a crazy recovery time. There's this doctor in Spain that apparently can work magic or work wonders, but it seems to be coming back to bite him as he missed the Spanish Grand Prix 2 weekends ago, and it's unclear if he will be racing at home in Canada this weekend. So we'll see about that. The likely replacements are Felipe Drugovich and Stoffel Vandoorne, although Valtteri Bottas's name has also been thrown out there. We'll see what happens, but I hope that Lance feels better and everything is okay. So the questions that got asked, which I thought was so interesting, was, is Stroll done forever from Beatold? Is Lance Stroll out from Kenna von Fossen? Do you really think that Lance Stroll will finally be kicked out of the Aston Martin seat from Ali Pilch? Do you think this wrist injury affects Lance long-term? If so, it enables a few driver moves from FanAmp Fantasy HQ. And I think my favorite and probably most accurate phrasing is Lance's wrist injury the soft launch of the Stroll exit strategy from Molly Chocolate? Now, I don't think they would soft launch his exit this early in the season if that was really what's going on. I do think that he is having pain from a wrist injury that happened 2 years ago, but seems to be coming back, maybe given the quick recovery time and just the fractures that he sustained in his wrist. But I do think that if when Stroll will be out of that seat, there will be some sort of like soft launch exit strategy. I don't know if it's going to be an injury or something else, but I don't see him just walking off the team and being like, there, we're replacing him with Max Verstappen, for example. I think there will be a soft launch strategy when the time comes. I don't think that time is now. It doesn't really make sense to put someone else in that seat for half a season when the regulations are shifting super drastically, because realistically, who would they put in that seat besides a rookie? And you could argue in most years that it would make sense to have a rookie get some experience under their belt, maybe before a first full season, but I'm not sure that that makes sense in the year before a massive regulation shift. The car is going to be so drastically different. I just don't think that makes a ton of sense to do at this stage, but I guess you never know. It's always possible, but I do think that this is a serious injury. I think it's real, but I do think the phrasing of soft launch of Stroll's exit strategy will be correct when the time comes. And maybe just one thing about the Aston Martin seat, I think that the first person who is getting a look at that seat will be Max Verstappen, just given the Adrian Newey factor, the Honda factor, and the new factory and all the money they're pouring in. And maybe there will eventually be some trouble in paradise at Red Bull and Max will actually look elsewhere. And Aston Martin seems to be a good candidate for a potential switch. But the team right now, I think they're ninth or something in the championship. It's not eighth, maybe. It's not looking great. So I think Max will have the first look at that seat whenever it comes time. And I actually think Yuki might have the second look just given the Honda connection. Depends how he does. If he continues to not do well in the Red Bull seat, then maybe it'll be a little tougher. But yeah, my thoughts are, I don't think this is a false situation where they're pulling the wool over people's eyes with Stroll. But I do think that you know, maybe it will give a chance for a rookie to come in and see what they can do, at least for Canada, because it was too late for the Spanish Grand Prix for anyone to fill in. Speaking of driver seats and other teams, a lot of people ask questions about Cadillac. One was, are any of the Cadillac driver rumors true, from Wendy MC4, and then also wildest Cadillac driver lineups from Beetled. So Lawrence Barreto actually put out a report of who the top contenders are for the Cadillac seat, and unsurprisingly, Checo tops that list as the favorite. It makes sense. He's sort of in his redemption arc right now, just given how nobody has seemed to do well in that second Red Bull seat, and Checo's actually looking better and better as the time goes on. And the audience he brings is certainly one that is close to Cadillac's heart. He brings a ton of fans, a ton of money, a ton of energy, a ton of passion, and of course, Mexico is right across the border from the States, so there's some proximity there that would be exciting to Cadillac. Apparently, Checo has also spoken to Alpine, but that's kind of a yikes. I mean, even though Cadillac would be a brand new team, I would probably take that bet over Alpine, although maybe I'll be eating my words next season. I don't know, but I just think the excitement of a new team and an American team is hard to pass up for a team that seems to be struggling and having a lot of management issues already. I do think Cadillac will want at least one, honestly, maybe two veteran drivers in that seat. I think everything else will be new to them this and next year. And so to have someone who's a veteran, I think Checo has over 250 Grand Prix starts or something like that. So having someone who knows what they're doing, who can help them develop the car, who can kind of help show them the ropes in a way, at least from the driver's seat, I think that will be really important to them. And so it makes sense that Checo's sort of top of that list. Valtteri Bottas is the second most likely, it sounds like. So he's staying sharp as the Mercedes reserve driver right now. We've seen him in the shots and in next to Toto on many Grand Prix occasions, but could also see him coming back. Apparently he has also talked to Alpine, but we'll see what plays out there. I don't know if it would be so crazy to have both of them. I mean, again, I do think the veteran experience for at least the first year of Cadillac will probably be important, and maybe they'll opt for one veteran, one rookie. But I don't know. I sort of think a Bottas-Checo lineup at Cadillac would be fire. Like, the two best second drivers in a long time. That would be super fun. Others farther down the list for Cadillac, but still on the list, it sounds like, are Zhou Guan Yu, who's currently the Ferrari reserve driver, Felipe Drugovic, who Aston Martin, and then Mick Schumacher, who is also apparently in the mix. I would be surprised by that, but you never know. It could happen. A name notably not reportedly on the list is Colton Herta. I know there were a lot of rumors about an American driver coming into an American F1 team, but it does not seem like he is on the list. I actually don't know what his super license situation is right now, but that is what halted him in the past from getting a seat in F1. And so we'll see. I'm not sure if his name will enter the chat at some point, but it seems like they would want to opt for people who have had some F1 experience, which to me makes sense, although the American angle is hard to top. Another question, the Max Verstappen race ban. So as we discussed, Max got a few penalty points on his license for crashing into George Russell at the Spanish Grand Prix. That brings him to 11 out of 12 points. When you hit 12 points on your license, you get a race ban. Two of those points expire at the end of the Austrian Grand Prix weekend. And the other notable thing about the Austrian Grand Prix weekend for Max Verstappen in particular is that apparently his contract has a stipulation that says as long as he's in the top four of the Drivers' Championship by the end of the Austrian Grand Prix weekend, his options to leave Red Bull seem to dwindle. That door seems to close. Although, who knows with contracts, there are always loopholes and whatnot, but it does seem like the Austrian Grand Prix was sort of a checkpoint in his calendar and may limit his choices for 2026. Although, I'm not sure how likely it is that Max would leave Red Bull before 2026 anyway, even if he had the option. I do think he'll want to stick it out for at least the first year to see what the engine's like, unless he knows 100% that it's going to be a bad car for 2026. Like, I think he'll stick that out a year and then survey the scene and go to a car who that might be able to deliver him a championship. But one question I got about the Max race ban was, if Max gets a race ban, do you think Liam or Isaac will replace him, from Jacob Lane 97? I think they would 100% put Isaac in that seat if Max did get a race ban, unless they put in another rookie. I mean, someone's going to have to fill in for Isaac if he gets pulled up. But Isaac has really been crushing it. They've seen Liam in the Red Bull seat already, so it would be kind of a maybe strange move to put him in that seat when you have a driver, another rookie driver, who's kind of crushing it, and you are curious about what they look like in the Red Bull seat for a potential promotion at some point. So I think they would definitely put Isaac in that seat, but I don't think it's likely Max will get a race ban. The whole Mad Max situation, I mean, it's possible that he just doesn't care, but he came about as close as Max Verstappen comes to apologizing on social media and after the incident with George. So I do think that he'll come back and race cleaner, at least for the next couple of races, because he knows what's at stake. Another Red Bull related question we got was, what do you think Yuki's future with Red Bull looks like? This is from Elena Valentina. This is a tough one. I don't know. Like, I would love to say he gets used to the car, he improves, he starts scoring points consistently. Maybe he's not putting it next to Max every time, but he's up there, because right now we certainly can't even say that. And so I don't know. I really hope he gets used to the car, if that's even possible. It just seems so weird what happens with this second seat at Red Bull all the time. So yeah, I'm not sure, but I think it's smart of Red Bull to give Yuki more time. I just don't think they can continue to cycle through these drivers and expect different results. Like, isn't that the definition of an insanity when you do the same thing and expect different results? And yes, I get they're different drivers, but it just feels like they need a little bit more. They need to give their drivers a little bit more time to adjust to what seems to be a very uniquely difficult seat in the Formula One world. So I hope that Yuki continues to improve and ends up crushing it. It doesn't seem to be on that trajectory right now, but, you know, the season is still young. Another topic is the F1 movie, which is coming out at the end of June, I believe on the 27th, and I will be attending the premiere in New York City, which is coming up very soon, and I know a lot of people have already seen it. There was a showing in New York for some creators that I was invited to, but unfortunately could not make it to because I am on the West Coast and just couldn't swing it, unfortunately, on a Wednesday with finals and everything in the mix. But I have talked to some people who were there and asked their opinions, got their thoughts, and it sounds like it's a good movie. So I'm really excited. I will, of course, report back on whatever I'm allowed to talk about, but I can't wait for everyone to see it. It's going to be so fun, and I'm so excited for the premiere. So a little sneak peek of what I will be up to very shortly. A couple people asked questions, sort of general team status, some teams in particular. So one question was, I'd love to hear about how each team is doing at this point in the season, predictions for 2026. This is from Pearl in a Shell. I don't think I can go through all the teams, but maybe just one, maybe just a couple to highlight. So one person also asked from Carbon Kate, Ferrari's sneaky P2 in the constructors, have all the other teams given up on 2025? And I will say this is one of the things that I have been thinking about, is how strange it feels to have Ferrari P2 in constructors when I feel like all we hear about is the Ferrari woes and Lewis is so unhappy in the car and Charles isn't doing great, but he did have two podiums in the last two races. And so, I don't know. It seems weird to me that Ferrari is P2 and constructors, given all the complaints. I don't know if we just have really high expectations for Ferrari as a team and they're P2 and that's not good enough, or maybe they're just like eking into that position, which obviously it's a tight battle with Mercedes, who started off the season really strong and has had less favorable results over the past couple races. But yeah, I don't know. Ferrari's a weird one. I can't believe they're in P2. And when we get to my hot takes, I'll come back to this. But yeah, I think that's an interesting one. I think how poorly Aston Martin is performing is a really big surprise for me. I think at this point in last year's season, Aston Martin was at least fifth. I don't think they were fourth, but I think they were at least fifth, and now they're like way in the back. It's actually kind of crazy. And then, of course, I've talked about it many times on the podcast, but Williams is another pleasant surprise, which has been awesome to see them crush it. They're comfortably sort of in that midfield zone, scoring points. Albon and Carlos seem to have good chemistry and, yeah, good teamwork. So I'm excited to see how they continue to hopefully crush it.
Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. But what if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment and spend less than you would with other clouds. But how is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all of your biggest workflows. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Let's talk numbers, one of my favorite topics. Traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session, which adds up fast. And in this economy, that's money I'd much rather spend on Grand Prix tickets or my favorite driver's merch. But with BetterHelp online therapy, you can save, on average, up to 50% per session. Your mental health is worth that investment. And making that investment while saving, that is like a double podium for your favorite midfield team. And trust me, that's something we all need to see. BetterHelp also has over 30,000 credentialed therapists in a wide range of specialties, which may sound daunting, but they make finding the right therapist incredibly easy. And if something's not working, you can switch therapists at any time. Your well-being is worth it. Visit betterhelp.com/paddockproject today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/paddockproject.
So those are some of the thoughts I have. When we think about predictions and 2026, I'm going to say McLaren definitely runs away with constructors this year. They seem to have the best car. I don't think anyone's going to be crazily investing in upgrades as we get, especially to the back point of the season, because again, the regulations are switching. So I think McLaren's going to easily get constructors. I think it'll be a tighter battle between 2, 3, and 4 between Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull. Drivers? I don't know. People are asking about teams, so I'm not even going to give a prediction on drivers yet. It's too early in the season, but I do think it will be one of the McLaren drivers. And yeah, we'll see. Teams have scored a decent amount of points, and we're getting some good competition for the midfield. So I think the standings will continue to kind of switch back and forth. And I think that's fun, and that's exciting. So hopefully that'll be the case. 2026 is sort of a gamble. My money is on Mercedes for the power unit. I think they'll crush it. They usually seem to have a good track record with regulation changes. I hope Aston Martin does well and enters into the mix. Like, they could absolutely crush it for 2026. And maybe that's why they're doing so poorly this season, is because all they've done is thought about next year, and that's where all of their resources are going. I think that would be the smart thing of them to do, to be honest. But yeah, it is tough to see them, and that would sure be a Cinderella story if they finished like 9th this season and then came back and were like first or second next year. So I don't know, we'll see. but Aston Martin, I think, is going to be a fun dark horse for 2026. Some other things, I talked a little bit about this in the newsreel this week, but there were a lot of sponsor announcements. So Tommy Hilfiger and Cadillac have teamed up. Tommy Hilfiger is the first official partner of Cadillac. It's the first announcement we've gotten. They're an official apparel partner, which is really cool. A lot of people were asking, like, what happened to Mercedes? Tommy Hilfiger was always a Lewis sponsor, I believe, and so they were at Mercedes while Lewis was there. But then when Lewis moved to Ferrari, they did not go with him. They seem to have put their eggs in the Cadillac basket, which I think is really fun. And F1 Academy, of course. Tommy Hilfiger is a huge partner of F1 Academy, so I'm really excited. I felt very patriotic when I saw that announcement. And then a couple other ones, all American, which I will get to this in a second. So F1 and PepsiCo have signed a deal until 2030. We have Doritos as the official snack partner. We have Gatorade as the sprint partner for F1, which is kind of funny. And then Sting Energy as well. Whispering Angel was announced as the official rosé of Formula One. So that's an LVMH brand. So not super surprising there. And then F1 and McDonald's now have a collaboration. McDonald's has like an F1 Happy Meal or something. I've gotten a lot of memes from people about this, which is kind of funny, but that was a shout out from the Pit Talks F1. But yeah, so on the American front, like, these are all American names, and it's interesting when you think about the levels or the different types of sponsors in Formula One. Like, you have LVMH, which is like the pinnacle of fashion. It is about the highest caliber brand you could get to be associated with your sport. If you call LVMH a brand, it's really like a consortium of brands. But then you have like Doritos and McDonald's and very American, I don't want to say lowbrow, but, you know, it's a very different end of the spectrum from something like LVMH. And so it is kind of this weird dance that F1 is doing, where it's like, we are untouchable and we are for the unattainable, the high class, like super expensive luxury. But then, oh, by the way, we're also a Happy Meal and we have Doritos as a sponsor. And so they're trying to appeal to everyone, but also be unattainable. And it's an interesting strategy. And I don't think it's necessarily a wrong strategy, but I think a lot of people are maybe bemoaning the Americanization of F1. But at the end of the day, it's F1 that is making these decisions, right? Like, they're seeing brands come in, offer money, and they're choosing what deals to take. And I'm sure they have many brands lined up. So they sort of get to pick and choose who they want to work with. So I don't think you can necessarily blame Americans for this. Like, yes, F1 is owned by Liberty Media, which is an American company, but they have their own autonomy in certain ways, and they make their decisions. So I think it's kind of an interesting choice, and I'm curious to see how it plays out, especially as Cadillac is coming in as a team, as an American team. And yes, there is Haas, but they haven't really leaned too much into that angle to date. So I wonder if F1 is trying to get some more American brands and sponsors for the sport as a whole, rather than just having all of that go to something like Cadillac. I don't know. We'll see. So that's that for the news. A very quick Canadian Grand Prix preview. So Canada just has everything. It's an amazing track with high-speed sections mixed in with some low-speed corners, the Wall of Champions, and a huge crowd. It's like 350,000 people huge, and it's all on this island in Montreal, which is so cool. And the drivers also love it. It's a really good vibe. I was at this race last year. It was such a fun one. And I got to interview Alex Albon at the Canadian Grand Prix last year. So if you have not listened to that interview, I highly recommend you go check that out, because it was such a fun conversation. We talk about poutine and him being Thai. My family also used to live in Thailand, so it was a fun conversation. But for the track, it's 4 kilometers, 70 laps, I believe, lots of turns, heavy braking zones, 2 DRS zones. There's this famous hairpin turn at turn 11, and that leads into a nice long speed trap. Watch for a lot of overtakes in that area. You have to brake super hard to slow down for this. So drivers, I think, experience almost 6 Gs, which is crazy. They go from something like 210 miles per hour all the way down to 85 in a little over a second. So it can be a little bit of a punishing track, but I think it's a fun one. And then the Wall of Champions, as I mentioned, that's at the end of the circuit, and 5 world champions have crashed into this wall. It's at the end of the lap at turn 14. So look out for that. Maybe we'll have one happen this year. I hope nothing dangerous, of course, but always fun to have a little bit of excitement. And I don't think I gave my hot takes in the Spanish recap. So to quickly do that, I think I want to go a little rogue here. I'm going to say Ollie Berman points. I'm going to say he's in the points. And then I'm actually going to say that Kimi is going to podium and Mercedes is going to take back P2 in the constructors from Ferrari. So a little bit of a hot take there, but it's going to be a fun one. So that's all. Thank you for joining. We will chat after Canada.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.